and pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, let my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
The book of Ephesians is given to us as a guide. It not only tells us what we should be doing, but it tells us how we should be doing those things. God does not leave us in the dark. In other words, he doesn't just say simply do something without giving us a guide to help us to know how to do what he wants us to do. Well, in the book of Ephesians, we're in chapter 5, and we left off last time in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17. It says, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Well, notice if you would, that is not a request that God has made of us. He says, "Be ye not unwise." We are to be as the saved person. In other words, we're to be as the saved person because we are saved when we've trusted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We're not to be as a foolish individual, but we're to listen to the Lord. We're to listen to what he has for us because it says there in that verse, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And I've said this before. In order to understand what the will of the Lord is, we must be in his book. We must be in the Word of God. We must be listening to what he has for us as we read and study the book, the Word of God, the Bible. And as we study, we realize that as we do that, he is giving us what we need to know his will. And of course, along with that is prayer. We need to be praying as God's people. Not only to learn the will of God, but to let the Lord know that we love him. Tell him who he is. And I have to always say this, God knows who he is, but he wants you to know that he knows that you know who he is. Now that may sound like some double talk, but God wants you to tell him who he is because he wants to realize, he wants to know that you know who he is. Now, he already knows that. God knows everything, but he wants us to talk to him. He wants us to let him know that we know him, and we need to love him with all of our heart and to let him lead us and guide us. Stay in his word. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And I wonder, do you know what the will of the Lord is in your life and for your life? If you've never trusted him, the will for your life, immediately I know what the will is, and that is to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It says, in the word, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them who believe on his name. And that you, if you've never trusted him as Lord and Savior, you can do that. You can call on him right now and ask him to save you. Lord Jesus, forgive me of sin, Lord. I'm tired of going my way. I want to go your way. And by going your way, Lord, I'll be going to heaven. If you'll trust Jesus Christ to save you, he will save you so that one day I'll see you in heaven. And the best thing about that is the fact that you will be there with Jesus Christ. Won't you trust him today as Lord and Savior? Well, let me read once again Ephesians 5:17, and I want you to notice something here. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Notice the word and in verse 18. And, conjunction with verse 17, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Well, now many people, they have an idea that gives people the permission from God to drink wine. Or that means that you're simply not to get drunk when you drink wine. Well, that's not what the verse is teaching here. Verse 18 says, and be not drunk with wine. You see, there was evidently in the church at Ephesus, there was a danger that the church at Ephesus was exposed to, and that danger was the vice of drunkenness. It was more than likely that others in the city of Ephesus were addicted to alcohol. And it's quite possible that in this verse, Ephesians 5:18, that there is an allusion to the orgies of the heathen god of wine, Bacchus. That's spelled B-A-C-C-H-U-S. And there were festivals celebrated in honor of that heathen god, Bacchus. He was the god of wine. And during those festivals, this would have taken place in the city of Ephesus. And during those festivals, men and women regarded it as an acceptable act of worship to become intoxicated, along with wild songs and cries to run through the streets and fields and vineyards, just going crazy. Much plain by the verse that Paul was admonishing people of the Ephesus church to stand against the drunkenness and orgies they had been acquainted with. It was prevalent during that time. And Paul, in other writings under the inspiration of God, admonishes God's people to sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs as much more appropriate modes of devotion than getting drunk with alcohol. Now, Paul would have the Christian worship stand out in strong contrast with the wild and degenerate habits of the heathen. And we see that many times in many so-called churches that say they worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And by the way, that's how we're to worship the Lord, in spirit and in truth. Well, Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19, again, he says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now, we're going to look at that verse after verse 18, but now I want to call to your attention that verse 19 right now. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And Paul continues in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Remember, I said that we are to stay in the word. And Paul says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And that's the way a church is to worship the Lord in singing. We're to sing to the Lord. And we're going to see more about that as we continue studying in this section of Scripture. Verse 17, we go back there and we look, wherefore be ye not unwise. You see, while those who walk as fools, and that's the opposite of being wise, of those who walk as fools delight in being filled with wine. And those who walk as wise will endeavor to be filled with what? The Spirit. There's a contrast here. And once again, Ephesians 5:15 says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Well, let me say this. All intoxication is prohibited in the Scriptures, no matter by what means it is produced. Now, there is, in fact, alcohol that produces intoxication. It's the poisonous substance produced by fermentation. And alcohol exists in beer and wine, and this means that they've been fermented, and the whole process of distillation consists in driving the alcohol off by heat and collecting it in a concentrated form. What's going to happen is that it could be preserved. Distilling does not make the alcohol, nor change it. It's the means of storing it when it's distilled. Alcohol is precisely the same thing in the wine that it is in the brandy after it's distilled. It is the same form in hard cider or the beer, and it is in the whiskey and the rum. My question is this. Why should it be right to become intoxicated on alcohol in one form rather than another? You see, since therefore there is danger of intoxication in the use of wine, as well as in the use of any other drink that contains alcohol, is it any wonder that the Bible prohibits the use of alcohol as a beverage in any form? Now, we talked about wine and how it is prohibited in an earlier study that we've gone through here in the book of Ephesians. In Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 1 says, "Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise." Remember, we talked about the wise person. Proverbs 23, verses 29 and 30. It says, "Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes?" And it answers the question in verse 30, "They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine." Now, we may have looked at these verses before, and I'm sure that I've mentioned them, but the Bible here says, who has the woe, who has sorrow, and who has contentions? Who causes problems? It's the drunk. Who hath babbling? Many times, I've been acquainted with people who have been addicted to drink. They want to drink and get drunk, and I've dealt with these people, telling them that they need to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and many times I'll go back to them after they've sobered up and talk to them again, because when I'm speaking to them, many times they'll be drunk and they'll just be babbling. You really can't understand what they're saying. Well, notice the rest of that verse in Proverbs 23 and verse 29. It says, "Who hath wounds without cause?" In other words, a drunk can be injured and not even remember how they got injured. And who hath redness of eyes? I'll tell you who has it. It's that person who gets drunk. That person who falls prey to the devil's drink, and that is alcohol. "They that tarry long at the wine," that means drink, that's alcohol. "They that go to seek mixed wine." Well, how can a man prove that it is right for him to drink alcohol in the form of wine, and that it is wrong for him or me or others to drink it in the form of beer or whiskey? All of that has alcohol in it. We should abstain not only from wine, but also from any drink that contains alcohol. I wonder today, maybe you're addicted to this drink, alcohol. Maybe you are a saved person who's taken this verse that we've looked at here, "Be not drunk with wine." Maybe you've taken that verse out of context and you believe that it's all right to drink wine. Some people I've heard say, "Well, you know, I just simply cook with wine. You're supposed to use the real stuff to get the real taste when you cook with wine." Don't fall prey to the devil's trick. I've been acquainted with people before who have made that statement, and what happens to them? They get addicted and they start drinking that garbage and they become drunkards. Don't fall for that. Listen to the Word of God and stay away from it. Stay away from alcohol in any form. Be not drunk with wine or any other alcohol drink. Well, God loves you today. I want to pray right now for you. Father, I pray for those who are listening. I pray for that person especially right now, Lord, who's not saved. May that person trust you as Savior right now. May that person, Lord, who is addicted to drink, may that person, Lord, turn to you and say, "Lord, deliver me from the trap of Satan. Lord, help me with this problem." In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, lift me up and
let me stand. You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.